our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I would put Dahl right behind Moncada. And
so would I. That's what I have him on my list, my updated list. I have Moncada as number one.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I've really been hard on Albie. There's a few guys that I just am always hard on, not in a sexual sense. Let's see. For you Carter Caps lovers out there, let's just pray.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And you had to stop them in the middle of the actual meal and say, listen, I have to record a prospect podcast, so I'll see you next year.
Those may or may not be the words that I used. But along those lines, yeah, pretty much.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 141 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits baseball podcast. I am your host, Mike Werner, and with me for another prospect edition of the show is our lead prospect analyst, Matt Thompson. Matt, what's up, man?
Nothing, man. How are you doing? It's been too long.
I know. It's been a few weeks. We tried to go weekly, and it's essentially becoming a bi-weekly or every three-week podcast. So,
yeah, it's not the plan, but Sundays sometimes are hard, but we'll get it straightened out.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we record on Sundays, which is usually a family day, and you know, I'm certainly a family guy, and not the show family guy, but I'm a guy that likes to be a family guy. So
I am not a family guy. So,
well, that's not true. You had dinner tonight with your grandparents.
I did. They came in from Arizona, so kind of had to do our yearly obligation.
But, and you had to stop them in the middle of the actual meal and say, listen, I have to record a prospect podcast, so I'll see you next year.
Those may or may not be the words that I used, but along those lines, yeah, pretty much.
Nice. Well,
I'm trying to figure out if I want to crash at their place during the Arizona Fall League and make up some excuse so I can go do that.
I wouldn't do that. They probably will want to spend time with you, and I don't know if you'll be able to shake your way out of that.
Probably not, but man, I want to do that so bad.
Yeah. Before we dive in, just a word from our sponsor, OfficialFantasyRings.com. OfficialFantasyRings.com, you can buy and customize any ring on their website for your league. You know, make sure you use the promo code FWFB at checkout, and you will receive 10% off. Also, please rate and review the podcast. We also have the football feed just coming up this last week here. We're going to be putting out multiple podcasts a week for that. And then, obviously, you have come to know and love our baseball feed that, you know, we're producing 3 to 5 shows a week on as well. So please rate and review. It helps us go up the ranks, helps us get found by other people. So please do that. And, yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we've had a big couple of weeks in baseball, and the MLB trade rumor or trade rumors, the MLB trade deadline is, you know, we're recording on Sunday night. It's going to be tomorrow. So we have a lot of stuff going on, especially these last couple of weeks. Like I mentioned, the first thing I'll talk about doesn't even have anything to do with a trade, but we had David Dahl get called up to the majors. He's a guy that I think you and I have both been very vocal about. Me personally, I think that he is going to be a perennial first rounder for fantasy owners. Obviously, it's not going to be next year, and it might not be the year after that. But, you know, I think that this is a first round player for fantasy teams. I personally think that he is he's obviously owned probably everywhere. But if he's not owned for some reason, even in a 10-team league, he should be. He's been off to a really good start, already. He has 10 hits and 28 plate appearances. You know, he's just doing a stellar job. So, Matt, anything that you want to add with this call-up? I think people already are familiar with David Dahl, but anything that you want to add in terms of fantasy value or just overall how you feel about him?
You pretty much hit it on the head, man. This guy has a 20-30 upside for me, which, like you said, that's first-round player. Being in Colorado, playing center field, eventually. He'll be in left now. I think they probably move Blackman in the offseason. If not tomorrow, who knows? But, man, David Dahl, like you said, he's a first-round pick for 5 years, I think, if he stays healthy out in Colorado. He's an animal, and there's not much else to say about him because he is a fucking monster.
Absolutely agree. so How about this? We'll talk about next season a little bit and where we might want to draft somebody like David Dahl. And if we're talking a keeper dynasty league, since we are a prospect pod, we'll keep it at that. So if you are drafting a startup dynasty league next year, where would you draft David Dahl in terms of outfield ranks?
I'm kind of winging this right now, but I would put him toward the back end of like the Starling Marte tier.
Oh wow. All right.
I really like Dahl. Like, I know he's not going to put up those numbers initially off the bat, but I mean, if you want him in a startup, you have to draft him early, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking prospects, we've already talked about Moncada. We're about to talk about the second-rated prospect in all of baseball. We've talked about Gallo a ton. I would put Dahl right behind Moncada. And
so would I. That's what I have him on my list, my updated list. I have Moncada as number one and David Dahl as number two.
And we've talked about Moncada before, and we both came to consensus that we think he is a top five or six second baseman if you're drafting for a startup dynasty now. And that might not be popular amongst a lot of people that I know. You know, our own Justin Mason likes to use his own redraft rankings when even doing a startup dynasty, which is fine because he's going to compete that year, and I'm all for that. But also, you know, if you're doing a startup dynasty, chances are, you know, we play fantasy for fun. We don't do it so that we can just, you know, work on things and be stressed out all the time. We do it because we want to root for the players that we love. And if you love David Dahl, I think that you're going to have to take him probably, you know, we'll do would you rather, because this, you know, I somewhat agree, you know, after Marte, which is probably amongst the top 15, but that's what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah.
If you're doing a startup, would you take him? And this is normal 5x5 without the walk rate. We'll do just regular batting average. Him or Ryan Braun?
This is a dynasty league, right?
Yeah, startup dynasty.
Well, Braun's over 30, so I'm taking Dahl.
I'm taking Braun. It's so close. If you ask me tomorrow, I might say Dahl. But right now I'm taking Braun just because I think he still has another 3 to 5 years left.
Hopefully. I just traded Isaiah Peak for him in our dynasty league. So,
how about this? A guy that you and I are both, I think, just going down on really, really fast, Andrew McCutchen.
That's a tough one for me. I had McCutchen as the third best Pittsburgh Pirate outfielder going into this season, so I've been proven to be right on that, I believe.
Well, aren't you smart?
Yeah, I was the only one. I was the only one of us that did it. I took some shit for it, but it paid off. But I still think I have to go McCutchen. Well, I play in all OBP leagues, so I have to go McCutchen because of the walk rate. But if I'm in 5x5, I'm taking David Dahl.
Well, then you're taking Dahl because that's what I talked about as a 5x5 league. Him or Adam Jones? I agree. I would take McCutchen. I wouldn't take Dahl. So first off, I don't like this because it's seeming like I'm lower than Dahl on Dahl than you are. But I just don't think that's true. Adam Jones.
This is an easy one. It's Dahl for me.
Yeah, it's the same for me as well. How about I'll give you two more: Gregory Polanco, the other Pittsburgh Pirate.
See, this is tough. I have to go Dahl because Polanco's not stealing bases like I hoped.
Well, he's injured. I'm going to go Dahl, but I think that it's super close. You know, just to give the listeners, if you haven't really looked into David Dahl much, you know, he had kind of a rough start to his career. He had some disciplinary issues that, you know, whether you think it was right or wrong.
Yeah, that's crap. It's a bunch of crap. Those were.
And I agree with that. I was not somebody that looked at David Dahl as somebody that, you know, was reckless or, you know, didn't take the game seriously or anything like that. But regardless, in the minors, he's posted seasons with, you know, 16 or more stolen bases in, you know, each of the last three seasons. And then his power, especially this year, has really started to skyrocket. He has 18 home runs for the year. He's already hit two in the majors, and they weren't in Colorado, if my mind serves me right.
I don't think they were.
I mean, on top of the fact that he plays in Colorado, he is just a stud player regardless. Even if he was a prospect for, you know, say the Rays, he would still be a star player. He might not be a first round player for me every year, but he'd be up there.
Definitely agree. Yep. He's a good player. He's an excellent player. That's in an excellent ballpark. He's not aided by Coors Field whatsoever. If he were to get traded to, like you said, the Rays tomorrow for a starting pitcher, I don't drop him much, if at all. He's that good.
Yeah, I will safely say he's top 20 for me among a startup dynasty outfielders, which probably places him overall somewhere in the top 40 to 50, which means that you would have to spend, if you're in a, you know, say a 12-team standard startup, you're going to have to spend a fourth-round pick on him.
I'm gonna put him in my top 15 outfielders for sure. So I'm going a little higher than you. I'm going probably second or third round, honestly.
Which, you know, I'm not going to argue with you on. But I think everybody knows about Dahl. So let's move on to Alex Bregman, who, I mean, if you don't know about Alex Bregman, then I don't know where you've been for the last, 2 months or so. Standout in the Futures game, has been just nothing short of amazing in the minor leagues this year. Hasn't done great in the majors. And I don't know what people were really expecting. You know, when, you know, my fantasy analysis when he first came up was take a shot, because he's been so on fire this year that, you know, even if you don't know how he's going to translate to the majors necessarily, he's certainly worth taking a shot on because of the fact that he offers upside. But, you know, if you're playing him at shortstop, there have been, you know, like we've what I talked about earlier in the year before the season even started, actually, and what a lot of us on the site actually preached was shortstop is deep. So, you know, if you have Alex Bregman right now and, you know, there's people on the waiver wire such as a Marcus Semien or, you know, we'll even say Elvis Andrus or, you know, God forbid, you know, somebody like Addison Russell or somebody like that, you know, Elidmys Diaz, you know, Didi Gregorius, all of these guys, you know, are you dropping Bregman due to the fact that he really hasn't started out that great and, you know, you don't know how big the leash actually is?
See, this is a tough situation because if you have Bregman, it means, in like a redraft format, it means you've been sitting on him for a while. So it's going to be really hard to cut him after 20 at-bats. I kind of think you have to hold him and just bench him, but you touched on it because shortstop is damn deep this year. And I think it's really, really hard to say, but I mean, I'd bench him for the foreseeable future and just kind of hope he turns around. I'd hold him. But if any of those guys are on the wire, I'd rather have all those guys except for Gregorius that you listed earlier.
No, I mean, for me, if you held on to Bregman this long, then you keep riding it out.
Yeah, you have to.
At the end of the day, you wrote him out for a reason, and hopefully you trust in his talent. I certainly do. Do I think that he's going to have a better rest of the year than a lot of those guys I just mentioned? I'm not positive, but I do think that he has a higher upside the rest of the year than all of those guys. So I think it's worth speculating on the rest of the year, and you know, I wouldn't, you know, drop him right now, especially if you've held on to him this long.
Worth noting, Yulieski Gurriel is playing in the GCL now.
Yeah, he got his visa. You know,
so he'll be up a couple weeks, maybe.
Yeah,
so.
Which could be telling because, you know, if he ends up coming up and they send Bregman down, then you're looking at a situation where, you know, then you definitely have to drop Bregman at that point.
Absolutely. Not enough time left in the redraft season.
Yeah, and just so people know as well, I mean, Bregman has essentially been playing third base for the most part since he's been up. I know he got one game in left field. I think they DH'd him a little bit as well. But overall, you know, he's somebody that can move around. I think Gurriel, though, when he comes up, is going to be mainly a third baseman. We also have to take into account that Luis Valbuena is on the DL right now and A.J. Reed is in the minors. So Houston has options. You know, it is only 20 at-bats, so I don't think it's really something we can take any type of long-term stance on with Bregman. But, you know, if you're in the hunt to win this year and you have Bregman on your roster, you know, I think that you can cut bait if you just feel like it's not going to turn around. At the same time, if you've held him this whole time, you should wait.
You got to wait. And, I mean, do the fates of Bregman so far and then, like, A.J. Reed, do they teach you any lessons going forward? Or are you just kind of sticking to what you think you know about prospects in redraft leagues?
I mean, it's always kind of a crapshoot, you know? I mean, some of these guys are so good. Like, Yoan Moncada, when he gets called up next year or if he just starts off in the majors, I have no problem taking a shot on him because, you know, Mike Trout was a prospect at one point. So was Bryce Harper. So was Chris Bryant. I mean, all of these guys were prospects. And when they came up, sometimes they, you know, came out, you know, firing out the gates. I know, you know, Chris Bryant is somebody that has just produced since the day he stepped on a major league field. But Mike Trout, he was terrible in his first exposure. And then he came up the next year. I mean, if you picked up Mike Trout, you know, the year that he first got exposure and you had him in a keeper league and you could only keep like 15 and he was kind of on the fringe of you keeping him.
You probably dropped him.
How bad did you feel the year after? You know, and that's the same thing I'm kind of saying here with Bregman. You know, we are a prospect pod. So if you're listening to this, you're probably in a keeper dynasty league. You already know not to drop Bregman. We're more talking in redraft, especially shallow redraft. I'm okay with you dropping Bregman because chances are you weren't holding on to him this whole time. But, you know, your 15, 20 team leagues, especially in AO only, if you've been holding on to him this whole time, you have to write it out, you know, and it doesn't teach me a lesson because, you know, AJ Reed, as bad as he was when he came up this year, I think that, you know, he could all of a sudden get on a hot streak in the minor leagues, come up to the majors for 100 at-bats and hit 10, 20 home runs.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, Major League Baseball players are guys that, you know, they have highs and lows, they have cold streaks, they have hot streaks. I think the same can be said for minor leaguers, and it might just be, you know, the situation that they're in or their mindset when they get up to the major leagues, and we will never know how somebody will be in their first exposure.
One good thing to note about AJ Reed, I mean, he struggled majorly at the major league level, hit 156 with two bombs and 45 at bats. He went back down to AAA. Since he got sent back down, he's hitting 350 with three homers in 9 games. I mean, you can't. He's still hitting the shit out of the ball, and it's a little bump in the road for him. I wouldn't adjust your value on him either. It's just, you know, the playing time situation in Houston might be a little different with Gurriel, but I still think hitters are going to hit. And Houston knows what they got, and Reed's going to have a long-term spot next year for that team, so don't worry about him.
Agreed. I mean, people have been putting in years of scouting reports on these guys, so it's not worth 150, you know, 100, 200 at-bat sample sizes to make firm, you know, notions on whether you should keep a player or not. You got to write it out a bit.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
All right, so the first trade we'll talk about, the most recent, is Andrew Miller. Getting shipped off to the Cleveland Indians, who desperately needed a bullpen piece. Cody Allen, as good as he is erratic at times. And even if, you know, even though he's only had 2 blown saves this year, he's had times where he's just gotten blown up in certain outings. He's not the most consistent guy in the world, as good as he is in strikeouts. So they definitely needed him from a baseball standpoint. But from a fantasy standpoint, the Yankees got a haul. They got Clint Frazier, Justice Sheffield, J.P. Feyerhausen, if I said that anywhere near correctly, and Ben Heller. We won't touch on the two relievers that I talked about at the back end. Like you kind of mentioned prior to the show starting, they actually were the AA and AAA closers for their team.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting in a sense. So the Yankees are looking towards adding more bullpen pieces. But regardless, the biggest guy in here is Clint Frazier, who I like to call the best ginger in all the minor leagues. What do you think? How about this? Does this change your value of him from a prospect or a fantasy prospect angle at all?
Not really. I like him a lot. And it's a sad thing, though, getting traded to the Yankees for him, because he's got to cut that ginger beard off and he's got to cut those ginger locks, man. It's gone because, you know, the Yankees facial hair rules. But my value for him doesn't change. Yankee Stadium is a bad park for a right-handed power hitter, unfortunately. But I still love the kid long-term. He's solidly in my top – I don't want to misquote myself here. He's solidly in my top 15 for fantasy prospects in all of baseball. I love the kid. Massive forearms, big, strong kid. He reminds me of, like, body type. Like, he can be like Matt Holliday, like short, stocky, strong dude. But – he's going to hit 30 home runs a season, not initially. He's passed up Zimmer for me in the Cleveland organization for like the top outfield guy. He can play center long term. He's probably a left fielder because of the arm. But man, I love this kid. The power is a premium. He's cutting down his strikeouts. He's doing very well this year. A lot of encouraging signs.
Yeah, he's going to be up in the major leagues next year. And
yep, nope, yep, definitely.
I think perennially you can expect just a shade less of production from him than you would from David Dahl. And when I mean a shade less, I mean like a couple home runs less and or maybe a few more, you know, depending on the season, and then just a few less in stolen bases. So I think that he, you know, if I'm considering taking somebody like David Dahl in the top 5 rounds of a startup league, I think that it's safe to say I would, you know, be comfortable taking Clint Frazier in the 8th or 9th round.
Yeah, and the thing I want to add about Frazier too, like Yankee Stadium is death to right-handed power hitters. He's not a straight pull guy, so the stadium will hurt him a little bit. He's kind of a gap-to-gap dude, and he goes to the right field quite a bit as well, which that would be nice if he can steal a couple homers to the cheap right field seats out there in Yankee Stadium. But him being not a right-handed pull hitter would actually hurt him in this situation because the right left center field gap in Yankee Stadium is monstrous. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it's one of the deepest in the league. So that'll hurt a bit, but like I said, he's a gap-to-gap guy. He does hit a fair share of balls to the right side, so he'll be okay on that. Ballpark won't kill him too much.
Yeah, overall, I don't think that this is really a change to his value. If anything, it's for the better, but I still don't think it's really much better, even if it is. So overall, the thing is that the Yankees never do this. We're going to get to another trade they made that happened a while ago, actually, and they never do this. They never acquire prospects, and they certainly don't acquire high-level prospects. So this is why it was a little shocking to see Clint Frazier. It was a little shocking that the Indians gave up on him, because I understand they want a high-profile reliever, and that's probably the best piece that they have in the minor league system is Clint Frazier, but I'm still surprised they made the move.
Yeah, it is weird to me for a reliever especially, but I guess we need to, with the Cubs and Chapman trade, we need to change how we value relievers because, I mean, the Yankees got Gleyber Torres and Clint Frazier essentially for two guys that pitch two innings a game. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah.
that's.
Let's go to Justice Sheffield, a pretty high impact arm. You know, somebody that I think will probably get overlooked in this deal. He's not somebody that I'm in love with. You know, I'm not a big guy on getting lefty starters in general, but you know, I am intrigued by him. Mind you, he's going to go into a Yankees team that I don't think has the real ability to, you know, progress starters through their minor league system. We haven't really seen anybody flourish in their system yet. So I can't really bank on him, you know, making a massive impact in the major leagues. But regardless, a young guy, he was a former first round pick. He shows some pretty solid velocity from the left side, has a couple of different pitches in there, has some pretty decent command. Like any other young starter, he needs to work on the walks a bit, but, you know, has some good strikeout stuff. What do you think about Justice Sheffield? Is he moving up your ranks at all, or is he about staying the same? Where are you at with him?
He's staying the same for me. The thing about him that knocks him down a little bit is he's a mid-rotation starter for me. And those aren't the most exciting guys because you can find those guys on the wire in almost any dynasty league. Fastball sits 92, 93, can touch 95. He throws a cutter and a slider. Sometimes it kind of mixes together, which leads to trouble because then it just kind of spins and it's about 90 mile an hour if it's a blend of both and that pitch gets whacked. But he throws a changeup, but he doesn't throw it enough. So right now he's pretty much a fastball slider guy. Like I said, he moves the cutter in against righties. Like I said, inconsistent with the changeup. Could be a bullpen guy due to the fastball slider being ahead of the other pitches he has, which he'll be good in any role. Obviously, you want him to be a starter. He's durable. He's an athletic kid. He's a high draft pick, like you touched on. I like the kid. I don't think his value changes either, to be honest.
Okay, so that's a pretty good, I'd say, roundup of that trade. Now, the other trade that the Yankees made that people are well aware of at this point is the Aroldis Chapman deal. And obviously the biggest haul that the Yankees received was Gleyber Torres, a guy that I think we mentioned on the Wednesday show that I'm insanely high on. I've noticed him not last season, but the season before. He was really intriguing, somebody that I thought could definitely hit for double-digit home run power and also steal double-digit bases, plays at what at the time was a shallow position at shortstop. But, he's, you know, been raking in high A this year, you know, has put up almost 10 home runs, almost 20 stolen bases, increased walk rate. The strikeouts are a bit concerning as well, but he's really having a breakout season. And the Yankees acquired him. I'm not really going to touch on the other guys. I think, you know, Billy McKinney and Adam Warren and, you know, the other, you know, outfielder.
Rashad Crawford.
Yeah. There's not much to really touch on with them. But in terms of Torres, you know, in high A, he hasn't made his Yankee debut yet, or not Yankee debut, but he hasn't made his minor league debut yet with the Yankees. Does his value change for you at all? Where do you have him valued? And, you know, do you think it's smart for fantasy owners to try and acquire him right now since he's so, you know, so popular in talks at the moment? Or do you think that people should kind of wait and see for a little while?
He's played six games with the Yankees in high A. He's in the Florida State League, which is a tough offensive environment.
Didn't see you play.
No, you're good. That's the same. He was in the same league when he was with the Cubs at Myrtle Beach. So with the trade, he just kind of – or same level, excuse me. He went from the Carolina League to the Florida State League, but they're both high A. I think this trade is good for Torres and good for his fantasy value. It's always with him. You kind of knew his future wasn't in Chicago with just what they had. You know that we don't need to talk about that. They got some talent up there, but he's a 19-year-old kid. Like you said, you nailed the strikeouts. They're a little bit concerning, but I think he's going to stick it short, and that's something that I didn't think a couple months ago. I thought for sure he might be moving to third. I mean, he's not going to have be the rangiest guy. But he's got the arm, can play anywhere, and he's going to catch everything and get to him, and he will finish every play. I think he's the shortstop of the future in New York, which, yes, they do have Jorge Mateo, and this trade kind of hurts his value. I think Mateo already kind of started playing second base, but I think Mateo's future position now might be center field.
I was going to just say that. I feel like Mateo can play the outfield. And yep, they can, I mean, but you know, we have Torres, who's only 19. You know, it's not like he's going to be knocking on the door anytime soon.
Mateo's only 20, so they're both, you know, they're both not close.
Yeah, but, so I mean, if anything can happen, you know, like I said, anything can happen. So I mean, I think we just need to wait on that and not really worry about. I don't really worry about positions too much, you know, when I'm looking
at
prospects, because you never, especially with the game the way it is now. You know, people are so flexible and are so versatile that, you know, a lot of times the position scarcity thing just doesn't matter.
Just draft talent, man, and let it sort itself out. But
so I did want to ask you this, though, because I know a lot of people are still really high on Orlando Arcia. I would rather have Torres. How about you?
I agree. Torres has bigger upside. Arcia is a safe. He has a really high floor, but he's not going to wow you in any categories.
So among shortstop prospects, where is Gleyber Torres for you?
I have Torres. He is, for shortstops, I have him right behind Delvin Perez for me. So that is about 7-8 range.
All right. So, well, I think
that's
crazy.
Not counting major league guys. Like, Bregman doesn't count. He's in the major leagues. You know, like what I'm saying? Everybody called up is not there. I like Torres bad a lot. Yes, he's in A-ball, but he's a guy you need to gamble on in dynasty leagues because he can prove it to you. But like we said, shortstop's a little bit deeper, so you can get away with it. I like the bat. I would roster him in almost any dynasty league I could. He's going to stick it short, so the value will be there.
All right, a guy that wasn't on our show notes that I just wanted to get your take on is Raul Mondesi Jr. I've never been a fan, but I did want to mention him so that the listeners had a little gauge of his value. I'm sure they saw him get called up. Are you picking him up anywhere, or are you intrigued at all, or do you think that this is just kind of a blah move?
Up until this year, I didn't care for him at all, but now he's hitting for power, and I think the power has to go. It's noticed. I mean, whether it's legit or not with steroid or PED, whatever it was, supposedly he was cough medicine or something like that, but I think you have to take notice now because he's actually hitting for power. He hit 7 home runs and 200 at bats in the minors, which I was way more than he's ever hit before. And he had pretty terrible minor league numbers throughout his career up until this year. And it's encouraging to see him hitting. I like him long term a lot better than I did 6 months ago. But for now, I'm leaving him on the wire in redraft form or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan just because I know that he's fast and I know he steals bases, but I've never thought that his speed would translate well. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong on that, and maybe I definitely don't think his power will translate at all. I think that he's like a 5 home run guy, which if you want a shortstop nowadays that can hit 5 home runs and steal 15 bases or 20 bases, I suppose that, you know,
Eric Guybar is available.
Yeah. So especially with shortstop being the position it is nowadays, if I mean, If you haven't looked in a while, you have Manny Machado available at shortstop, Carlos Correa, Xander Bogaerts, Jonathan Villar broke out this year and is, you know, probably going to not stay to that length, but he's at least a top 15 guy going forward. Trevor Story, Corey Seager, the list is getting bigger. And then that's not also, I mean, Ian Desmond was eligible this year, won't be next season, so he'll be taken off, but you still have guys like Brandon Crawford down there. You still have Marcus Semien. You still have Zach Cozart. We don't know what Tulowitzki or how long he'll stay healthy. We got Bregman being added to the fold, Addison Russell. I mean, I'm naming names after names after names. And having Raul Mondesi, I can understand it in AL only, but I honestly, if a shortstop wants to make an impact, you have to up your game a bit nowadays.
I agree. That's why you got to take a shot on guys, but this is not the guy to do it. I kind of viewed Mondesi preseason as a guy that like kind of get the bat knock out of his hands power wise. I think he's a little better than that now, but I think you touched on it. I think 5-6 home runs is, you can't expect anything more than that. But I mean, I want to go back to like the Gleyber Torres and Jorge Mateo conversation for a second. Sure. If you look at the prospect ranks on like MLB.com right now, they have Torres ahead of Mateo, which I think is, for a real baseball sense, is correct, because I think Torres is the guy that plays short. But I think for fantasy aspect, I would much, much rather have Mateo due to the stolen bases. I just want to make that clear. Like, that's my thought process on that. Even with Mateo in center field, I think he can legit steal 50 bases a year.
Well, this is my thing, though, with Mateo, because I'm a massive Billy Hamilton fan, regardless of how bad of a hitter he actually is. Although he's getting better, and I want people to know, like, it doesn't necessarily take 1 or 2 years for you to find your groove in the major league. Sometimes it takes longer, and nobody's just going to give up on a Billy Hamilton, especially in Major League Baseball and with his defense. But with Mateo, I'm wondering, are we going to run into another Billy Hamilton situation?
I think he hits for a little more power than that.
I'm talking batting average, though. Is he going to be able to get on base? Is he, you know, his walk rate has slowly but surely gone down as he's gone up the minor league levels. If they start asking him to change positions more, that's more of his time being spent on changing positions and not at the plate. Yes, he has an astoundingly awesome skill in stealing, you know, and yeah. I know his power is better than Billy Hamilton, because Hamilton has no power. And, you know, while Mateo hasn't shown much in the minors, I do think that he could hit double-digit power, you know, for double-digit power in the majors if he developed enough. But I'm just, I've always had that in the back of my mind with Mateo is, you know, I don't like to see a guy walking less and striking out more as he's going up the minors. And at the same time, if he's going to be somebody that is learning other positions, that worries me a little bit. And maybe that's just me being irrational, but
no, that's a valid, we're all valid concerns. I mean,
I think Torres is the safer bet from a fantasy angle.
And 100%. But like I said, for my strategy in fantasy is take upside. So that skews my rankings a little bit, because I'm an upside whore.
Yeah, so I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. I would have Torres, but I completely understand going Mateo above him. I mean, it takes a special guy to steal 50 bases. So,
yep, especially nowadays when steals seem to be going by the wayside.
Agreed. So let's move on to another move that was made, and my boy, my son, Josh Naylor, got sent over to the Padres, along with Carter Capps. There were some other pieces to this deal, but really those were the main two. Colin Ray and Andrew Cashner went over to the Marlins. Actually, you know, Colin Ray, his first start with the Marlins, he essentially shredded his elbow. Hopefully he's okay. But yeah. Regardless, probably the Marlins' best prospect got sent over to the Padres. Definitely a better ballpark to hit in, but we're not going to be talking about Josh Naylor for a while in the majors. We've already talked about Naylor from a prospect sense. I'll just kind of ask you here, do you feel like Naylor has moved up or down your first base rankings due to this move, or do you think that he's about the same?
This move, I don't really move him that much. Neither team really. I mean, Will Myers is there in San Diego, but I think Will Myers will be somewhere else or playing somewhere else by the time Naylor gets up there in about three years. So I'm not worried about that aspect. I mean, the Marlins have nobody at first, so he loses a little bit in that sense, but that's not even enough for me to drop him down a spot. Naylor, you have to look at everything. Like, you look at you scout the stat line with Naylor, and it's not great. But once you take into context that he was hitting in the worst offensive environment in the minor leagues at 18 years old for most of the season, then when you factor all that in, what he did in Greensboro with the Marlins organization was actually a nice year. I'm really, really excited to see what he's going to do now, because after the trade to the Padres, moved him up to the Cal League. So now we're going to see what he's really got. Now he's going from one of the worst offensive environments to the probably the one of the best ones in the minors, not counting some of those AAA parks. So it's going to be really, really entertaining to see what he does. I'm going to be watching, keeping an eye out for him for sure, because in an offensive environment, you're going to see what kind of talent you could get out of Naylor.
Agreed. So. We've mentioned with Naylor, I think that he's a top five first base prospect.
Me too.
You could make a case for a couple of other guys, but at the same time, I believe in Naylor. I think that he is the second coming of Prince Fielder back when he was good.
I'm not going that high, but I've seen that comp. You're not the only one. I just dropped that. Hopefully he's got better discs in his neck, though.
We'll see. For you Carter Capps lovers out there, let's just pray. let's move on to our next guy or our next trade. We have Lucas Harrell and my boy, Dario Alvarez. How dare the Braves give up on Dario Alvarez? Going over to the Texas Rangers for Travis DeMeritt, a longtime upside play for Dynasty League owners. Give us an update on Travis DeMeritt. He, you know, the last time I checked, he was a high strikeout profile that, you know, obviously had the upside to be a top 10 second baseman at least, possibly more. Give us a little update on him and whether you think he is worth the gamble if somebody wants to trade for him or pick him up.
It's absolutely worth the gamble. He hasn't really changed much. He's still a high power, high strikeout whiff machine, but he's got the best raw power of anyone on the entire Braves organization, in my opinion, now. So definitely worthwhile gamble considering what they gave up, a journeyman in Lucas Harrell and a lefty reliever who can be good in Alvarez, but he's still a lefty reliever. So I like DeMeritt. He's got some speed, too. He can run. He's a little bit better defensively than preseason anyways. He's improved at second base. The footwork is a little bit better over there. He should stay there. He's got average. He's an average defensive player with plus power. Just needs to make contact. The easy way out on DeMeritt is it's all going to depend on what kind of average he can give you. I mean, really, that's all there is.
Well, I can safely say he's not going to be a 280, 290 hitter.
No, never. I'm thinking 240, 250.
At best, that's what he will give you. Let's keep it simple because I agree with you. I think that DeMeritt has the best raw power among any Braves prospects. And I also think that, you know, in terms of second base prospects, you know, we'll kind of go through the list here. We have Yoan Moncada, who it's not close. And then we have Ian Happ, who could change positions, but I think he's entrenched as the second best second base prospect right now. We have Willie Calhoun. You taking Calhoun or DeMeritt?
That's tough. Probably Calhoun because he's higher up and he's in AA, and he's safer. But the upside for DeMeritt at second base is intriguing. I think if everything puts it together, he can be a Brian Dozier, but I think the odds of that are slim.
I agree. How about on Ozzie Albies?
I like Albies. I think he's going to be a high average, high steal guy. So I'm going Albies. And also, Albies is in AA, so.
Yeah, I would still take DeMeritt because I don't buy the upside for Albies, but, you know, we'll see. How about Forrest Wall?
Definitely DeMeritt.
Yeah, I'm kind of close on that. I think Wall is certainly safer. I think all these guys are safer, let me be honest. But
I think a valid point back to the Albies thing. I mean, Albies only 19. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of why.
There's a ton of projection left with Albies, and I've always been kind of hard on him since he, you know, has been a prospect. I've really been hard on Albies. There's a few guys that I just am always hard on, not in a sexual sense, but in a, just kind of a cynical sense. Guys I love and guys I hate just from the get-go, and it's going to be for no reason at all. It might just be something little that I can't even explain. I hate Andrew Benintendi, even though everybody and their mom loves him, including you. There's just certain times with certain prospects that I just, you know, and Ozzie Albies is one of them.
I agree.
So don't listen to me.
No.
On Albies.
Yeah.
All right, so let's kind of round this out a bit. We had the Wade Miley deal for Ariel Miranda.
And yeah, he's nothing. Just an innings eater. Yeah,
that just happened today. You know, I think that he's just really a streamer type guy, a lefty, just really no big upside there. Let's talk about the Hector Oliveira and Matt Kemp deal. Obviously a money dump on the Padres side, but they axed Oliveira as soon as they got him. Do you think that Hector Oliveira will make any type of impact in fantasy ever?
No.
All right.
No.
I agree.
Not great showing in the limited at-bats he did get, and then he's got the whole baggage on the side with him too, so I'm not intrigued.
Absolutely agree. Let's move on to Adalberto Mejia. Bravo to me for getting that somewhat right.
Yeah, there you go.
A guy that I think we talked about earlier, if we haven't, not the biggest upside arm, but somebody that I think the Twins really needed. You know, Eduardo Nunez, you know, is somebody that has just broken out in a big way this year. I don't necessarily disbelieve it, because he's always been somebody that's shown speed in the minor leagues, and he also has shown speed in the majors. He just has never been given enough playing time. And, you know, with the Twins this year, they just really allowed him to get a shot, and he has definitely fulfilled, you know, what the Twins have needed and what fantasy owners have needed for sure. I mean, he's the number four shortstop, according to the ESPN player rater. Whether that's here nor there, I think that, you know, him going to the Giants until, you know, once they get healthy, he probably will be more of a part-time guy. But regardless, on Nunez, you know, for Dynasty and Keeper League owners, I think they already know with Nunez, he's not the, you know, a top 10 guy at the position.
If you didn't sell him now, it might be too late.
I agree. And that's not a knock on Nunez. I just don't think he's going to get full-time at-bats possibly ever again in his career. But with Mejia, you know, the Twins, you know, he is moving to an AL park, which, you know, that is not a definitely not a pro for him, but he has the stuff. He's been working on his command this year, done a better job just overall of maintaining his weight. I know he was kind of a pudgy little fatty before. He's doing a better
still
job.
Still kind of is, but not as much.
Yeah, so regardless, he's doing a better job of that. Somebody that I think could be a number three for them, maybe a number four. I'd say like a higher upside Ervin Santana, maybe an Ervin Santana from the left-hand side when Ervin Santana was actually fantasy viable, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, so that makes sense. I kind of like him to like a Wade Miley.
Hopefully like, better than Wade Miley.
Yeah, like Wade Miley like with Arizona, like that kind of Wade Miley.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we always kind of preach not to take a big risk on, you know, some of these low. You can find your Alberto Mejias or, you know, guys like that anywhere, I believe, in Dynasty and Keeper Leagues. There's always an arm that comes up that you can take a gamble on, unless they are the high, high, high upside profile guys. You know, there's really no reason to take a risk on these type of players. So,
agreed.
I'd say if you are just in an insanely deep league and you want to hold on to him, that's fine. If, you know, you obviously are probably not. So just keep him in the back of your mind as somebody that you could possibly stream at a later date or might be able to be a number five or six for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has the deep arsenal, but like, he's kind of like an average everywhere kind of guy. You know what I mean? So he'll be useful, but he's not going to blow your doors off. So.
Yeah. let's talk about Taylor Hearn, a guy that I know you're really interested in. He was one of the pieces given to the Pirates in the Mark Melanson deal. Tell us a little bit about Hearn and what you think from a fantasy angle.
Big lefty. So, I mean, that explains my interest level right there. 6'5", 210 from the left side. Love the strikeouts, man. Taylor Hearn, that's the name of his game. They got him. He's kind of bounced back and forth between relief role and starter role. I believe he's a starter long term. I kind of don't know why they're messing with him like they are as far as using him as a starter or reliever. I would let him start and just let him go. I really, really like this kid a lot. He's athletic. He's projectable. The numbers are pretty good with the K, from the K on the K side. He's got he throws upper 90s fastball. He's got a nice slider. That's what kind of why he might be a reliever, because those two pitchers are so good right now. He's definitely a name to file away, though, in real deep leagues. Don't go get him now or anything because he's still far away. But definitely keep him, write him in your notebook somewhere and keep track of him.
Yeah, only an A-ball. You know,
yeah,
right now,
plus fastball and a wipeout slider. So, I mean, that's good enough stuff right there.
Yeah, giving up some home runs this year, but you know, a ton of time left here on somebody like Hearn. And, you know, last year he almost gave up no home runs. So, there's a ton of time. I wouldn't mind taking a chance on Hearn above, you know, a guy like Mejia, a guy like the player we're going to talk about next, a guy like Miranda, who we just talked about in the Wade Miley trade. Yep. So, you know, I think Hearn has the highest upside of those players. But again, somebody that you don't need to take a risk on for quite some time.
No, I agree.
Let's talk about that Hansel. So hot right now.
So hot.
Hansel Rodriguez from the BJ Upton trade from Toronto, or yeah, from Toronto going to San Diego. Obviously a better pitcher's park. You know, give us a little, you know, info about him and what you think from a fantasy sense. Do you think he has the highest upside of the arms we've mentioned so far, other than the big guys?
I don't. I think he's the back end guy. I think he's a 4 or 5 starter of the major leagues, which, I mean, he's going to a great ballpark. Better situation from Toronto to San Diego. That's pretty significant. But, I mean, he's also years away. He's in low A now. He's 19 years old. His fastball sits low 90s, touch 94, but the movement is what's good about this kid. He's got real long fingers, gets around the ball. The slider is going to be his out pitch, but it's kind of inconsistent right now. He throws a changeup also. I like him he's a nice three-pitch guy. He could be a middle reliever, but I think if they want to rush him, but I think if they take their time, he can be a nice, useful starter in San Diego for a little bit.
I agree. Not much to really talk about right now with a 19-year-old. So, you know, we're not going to fill your head with that. So that we're not ending on a note that's talking about Hansel Rodriguez. Let's do a quick update on some of the higher level minor league prospects that we've been kind of waiting on for this year. So, Bradley Zimmer, when's he coming up?
Zimmer, I think he will be up next season.
You don't think he makes an impact at all this year?
No, I think he's kind of gone backwards numbers wise. So, and I just don't see him making an impact this year, unfortunately.
Wow, that's kind of surprising to me, actually.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this for a while, but I just don't see it.
If he were to come up, who do you think he would replace?
And that's the thing. I mean, he's not going to replace Naquin. I guess it kind of ties in if Michael Brantley comes back or not, which that's still kind of up in the air. I like he's probably the best center fielder on their roster right now. Well, besides Naquin, obviously, who's been the biggest surprise. We touched on him last time, and it's amazing to see him doing what he's doing. I like Zimmer, though, long term. Trust me, I really do. I think he's the center fielder of the future, but I don't see him coming up this year. He's been really good in the last 10 games in the minors, though, so maybe he will, but I hope I'm wrong.
Well, he's still striking out a ton. He just got moved up to AAA. Him and Clint Frazier were both moved up at the same time, and Frazier was doing a bit better than Zimmer, in my opinion. And, you know, to be honest, I love Zimmer to death, and I always have. I'm starting to get a little bit worried about the full projection actually coming to play in the major leagues. And maybe that's just me being, you know, stupid, but, you know, somebody like Gregory Polanco was just always producing in the minors. And I know people are going to look at the 33 stolen bases and say, oh, Zimmer is an automatic threat to steal 25-plus every year. I've watched him multiple times. He is not a 25 stolen base guy. Like, I don't see it.
I agree with you.
I think that he is a 20 home run, 10 to 15 steal guy, which is fine, you know, but I think the average is going to be somewhere in the 250 range, and, you know, which sucks, because if you ask me, you know, we talked about Zimmer last year at the end of the season, and I was saying that he is a top 5 prospect almost.
Yeah, I think he's going backwards a little bit on that. I think you're right there, but he's a good player, but maybe
injury or no injury, George Springer is not stealing bases at the clip that people thought. And he was stealing 30-40. He actually was the closest to a 40-40 season in the minor leagues when he was in there. So, you know, somebody like, you know, Zimmer, who is stealing over 30 right now, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to end up stealing that many in the majors. That's really all I'm saying.
I agree with you.
Nick Williams, a guy that was a preseason, not favorite for you, but somebody that you wanted to, you know, really kind of get out there that people, you know, get to know a bit more. Give us a little update on him and what you think, when do you think he'll actually get called up, if at all?
I like Williams a lot. He's running into some issues with, like, hustling and getting pulled from games right now, which is kind of strange. I don't understand what's going on there. So some makeup concerns possibly exist. I like him to hit 280, 290 with 25 homers, though, and hit in the middle of the lineup, and he can stick in center field. So he's a player, man. I just don't know if they're going to bring him up or not, because the walk rate's not that strong, and he's not going to not going to provide anything that Odubel Herrera is not giving them already. And Aaron Altair just came back, so I don't think he comes up this year. If he does, it's going to be for a couple weeks of September, and he won't be really an impact player. But I like him a lot long term. He's easily in my top 30, so I'm taking a shot on him wherever I can get him.
Do you think J.P. Crawford comes up?
Same boat. I think he comes up in September, doesn't make much of an impact, but get his feet wet for next year.
All right. Let's see. Alex Reyes, do you think he comes up this year?
Bullpen roll in September. They pretty much said he was. So, yeah, bullpen roll in September.
Last guy I'll mention, does Andrew Benintendi make his Major League debut this year?
No, he does not.
All right, that's all I wanted to hear. And with that, Matt, what are you up to nowadays? And let us know what you're working on.
I am chilling, watching baseball. I'm not working on anything right now. Just constantly updating the ranks. Hit me up on Twitter, MDTomp24. And yeah, that's it pretty much.
Yeah, you can please rate and review the podcast. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the brand new football feed, and you know, subscribe to the baseball feed if you haven't. Please, again, rate and review the pod so that everybody can, you know, find us and listen to us and all of the content that we're supplying here on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Head to the website, check out all of our content. We're really pumping out football right now. We have football ranks up. Eric Mackey is killing it on the baseball or on the football front. Ben Brennis and Darius Austin are both really killing it on the baseball front still. A lot of really good written content, as well as Matt Thompson's prospect ranks. Just a lot going on the site. You know, set up a username, set up, you know, get into our forums, chat with us, interact. We're all about that. You can check out my Baseball HQ daily matchups column on Saturdays. You can also check out anything I write on friendswithfantasybenefits.com and my raise updates on fantasypros.com. So, for Matt and myself, stay hungry, my friends. Every night.